Blog Talk Radio.
Can't roam without Caesar.
It is wonderful Wednesday, and I am Dr. Lorenzo D. Smith, the host of Talking Sports Plus Prime Time. This is the 8 o'clock hour, and we're so glad to come before you right now. You know, as I look at my line, my board light up, I get an opportunity to see those individuals who slowly join us. I see one of the co-hosts on here, and I do appreciate it. I'm going to make sure I give the right introduction when it's time. Now, just keep in mind, Talking Sports Plus is the voice. It always will be the voice of historical black colleges and universities, high school, and middle school athletics in the southeastern part of the United States. We focus on all types of sports. We're aired on every Wednesday at 8 o'clock Central Standard Time, 9 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. Our call-in number, and we want you to be a part of it, and that's 347-857-4192. Now, if you want to just check us out, if you want to email us some things, go to talkingsportsplus@gmail.com. Or you get the pleasure, just say you just want to tweet the show. You can tweet the show at talkingsportsplus with the number one, at Lorenzo D. Smith, at Elliot Darrell with the number one. That's ELLIOTDARYL with the number one, at Tremaine Edward, number seven, that's TremaineEdward, the number seven, and at Coach, that's with the K, _L_Smith. So you can contact us that way. But we're doing something different tonight. We got a little special added treat to it tonight. What we're doing is that we're live on Facebook as well. So I tagged several people, and I want you to join us on Facebook. We're going to be talking, even though you can see how we operate this thing through Blog Talk Radio, where the co-hosts don't have to be. We're doing it in the studio, but they can be in remote or on remote. We also will be doing Anchor Podcast. That's one of the things that we're also using where we make sure we record the show and get the show out. So we're excited. Now, the title for tonight's show is Champions Never Quit. And I'm going to say it again, Champions Never Quit. So we're at this time of the year, we'll be going for championship. We're at the end of the academic year or the scholastic year. We're going to call it intercollegiate or interscholastic, however you want to call it. We're at the end of the year. We want to talk about those sports and how it's happening at the professional level, how it's occurring at the high school level, how it's occurring at the college level, which is the historical black college and university. We also talk about the other major universities as well. So we're really excited about having a chance to do this. And it's hump day. We call it hump day. We're going to make it do what it do. So without further ado, let me introduce this young man. In some cases, present this young man. He's with us as our co-host, one of our co-hosts. I'm so proud to have him, proud of him, you know, because he works hard. He's grinding, trying to do what the hashtag said, keep on grinding, hashtag the Smith way. This young man hails up in North Alabama. He's a middle school coach up there and athletic director, Chapman High School. He's known by a lot of his colleagues and the cohort as the young man that has that slogan, ain't no fun when the rabbit got the gun. He's known on this show as our king and so proud to have him. None other than Coach Tremaine Edwards. How you doing, Coach Trey?
How y'all doing tonight? How y'all doing tonight, Coach? Glad to be here, Dr. Smith. Excited about the show tonight, man. Playoff basketball. It is what we expected. Ready, Dr. Smith.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Appreciate it, Trey. Appreciate having you here. And you know, we're gonna make it do what it do. You know, we're gonna go with this duo again until somebody join us, and we're gonna enjoy every minute of it. And we're gonna make it do what it do. We got some people joining us on Facebook, and I appreciate it. That's Michael Clemens, that's Preacher Man, preaching in for him. He's joining us, and also Latay Pickett. She's joining us as well. They're slowly coming in. We got some other individuals that's hitting me on talking about their following me now and following the show. That's Mary Bill. I appreciate you doing that, but let's move with our show. Now, before I go to starting with Champions Never Quit, I want to make sure I introduce the three other co-hosts, because we can't do without those individuals. Hales from South Alabama, from Fort Walton, because the E-train runs from Fort Walton up to Montgomery, over to West Alabama, from West Alabama back to Troy, and from Troy down to Dothan. Our radio personality, none other than the Don King of all things, Darrell E-Train Elliott. Also, we have the lady of the hour. You know, we have to have that millennial in here, but we have that young lady. She's glad to be here and be a part of it. Now, she might not be on the line right now, but she will be. Our co-host, our millennia, our lady of the hour, Coach Lauren D. Smith. And last but not least, my good friend of 30-plus years. He retired last year from the High School Athletic Association. He volunteered time. He's tonight. The reason he won't be here tonight, he's speaking at his high school. He's the graduation speaker. He retired in 2018. He's known to many as Touchdown Tony, as well as Coach Tony Stallworth. That's what we call him, all one time, Tony Stallworth. It is our final co-host, Coach Tony Stallworth. Each of those individuals join us. We're going to be at full force before long, Trey. We're going to make this thing happen, and we're going to get our voice. But tonight, it's just you and I, so let's make this thing do what it do. Champions never quit. Let's start off with that hot topic everybody was just waiting for all week, and it came last night. Came in the form as the NBA draft lottery. Share your thoughts on that, Trey. What's your thought about that last night? If some teams seem to be disappointed, if some players seem to be disappointed, tell me what you think about that, Trey.
Big time lottery. Give kudos to the Pelicans, the Grizzlies, the Lakers, and the Knicks. Those are your top four picks. Number one is the Pelicans. Number two, the Grizzlies. Number three, the Knicks. And number four, the Lakers. Big time, man. Pelicans in a great spot. I don't think they're in a great spot as far as holding on to their superstar, though. So I think they have to weigh their options with their first pick. I wouldn't be surprised to see if they gave up their first pick to get another superstar in New Orleans. But New Orleans is in a good spot, man. They can do a lot with that. The Grizzlies in a good spot. Grizzlies are aiming toward Ja Morant, man. They were talking about that today. You know, people up there talking about, you know, they should go after R.J. Barrett. Them folks saying, we don't want R.J. We going after Ja Morant. So they're going to get him and build their team around him. We know Zion will be the first pick. I don't know what options they will weigh with him. I don't know what the Pelicans are going to do with that pick. But Zion has said that he doesn't want to go to New Orleans to play. Now, if they make it appealing for him going to New Orleans, I think they will. He will play. And once they pad your pockets, Dr. Smith, I think, you know what I'm saying, they'll get you straight anyway.
Awesome.
Go ahead, Dr. Smith.
Yeah, that's awesome, Trey. Great analysis of what you saw last night. You know, I didn't get a chance to see it directly because we had our show last night, and I came back and I think I recorded it and watched part of it. And I was just amazed with, you know, some of the people getting so upset, especially in New York. They were so upset because they did not get that number one pick. No, tanking, that's what they call tanking. The reason why they couldn't get the pick because of what happened with Philadelphia a couple of years ago. Philadelphia went through that process of tanking, being losing all their ball games so they can get that number one pick. But they had this situation set up, broken down in percentage. Those four teams that Cleveland, the four teams like Cleveland, New York, and those teams that had those worst records, the Suns and all that, they was tanking thinking they was going to get that sweepstake with Zion. But what happened was because they set it up and used the ping pong ball, and those ping pong balls went through the process of going through that machine just like a lotto machine, and they were not selected. So it kind of slowed the tanking down a little bit where those teams are not playing at that level they need to play. They're cheating fans by going through the process of tanking so they can get that number one pick. You know, the process that's supposed to happen in Philadelphia, more or less it did not happen last night because what happened is those teams that may have had a 2% chance of getting the number one pick was able to vault ahead of those teams that had a higher opportunity, like 14, 15, 16%. So that's what I like about the draft. That caught everybody's attention. All your talking heads and partners talked about that last night. They talked about how this would make a little difference so teams can give these people, the constituents who put in their money into watching them play. Some of these people paying $40,000 and $30,000 for seats, and you out there tanking, think you're going to get Zion Williamson, R.J. Barrett, or whoever it may be, or like it was Ben Simmons, MB. You know, you got to hope the ball fall in your favor. So as Coach Edwards said about how the ping pong ball fell, the top four, it fell in a way that those teams that thought they would be able to get Zion would not be able to get him because of the ball said they will be further down on the pecking order. We'll do the top four. And as Trey mentioned, we're so glad to see New Orleans get it because New Orleans had a year of struggle just like other teams like the Lakers and eventually the Celtics and those other teams that was tanking. Cleveland had no choice but tank. They just didn't have any players. Those teams, the Suns, they had players. You know, they got the top pick last year. And the thing about it, but that the New Orleans Pelicans had an opportunity, and their name was called at number one, and they have an opportunity to draft Zion Williamson. You know, it doesn't matter where Zion goes. He's going to be box office anyway because the talking heads and pundits have played him that way. Put him in that situation. Put a lot of pressure that he's the best thing since light bread. You know, some people know about light bread. Some people call it white bread. You know what I'm saying? And truly, a lot of the pressure came from the pundits and the talking heads. When I said pundits, I'm talking to you. You're looking at First Take. If you're looking at Get Up, if you're looking at shows like that, NBA Jump, they just played him like they're the best thing they ever seen. And truly, you know, since LeBron and coming into the league, so they put him up there. So I think he had built his head up there and had his thought process that he'll get New York will win and New York win. So because his response, Trey, if you notice, his response was like, well, I'll just go. And you're being drafted the first. You're going to be the first player drafted. If New Orleans draft, they got to pay you. It is not going to be the money that Zion is going to make from his contract. But the first 5-6 years, rookie contract is everybody gets the same. That has been drafted, especially in the top 10, top 15, whatever it is. But he's going to make $130 million off Nike. He's going to be able to put that in the bank, have nothing to do with his salary. So wherever you go, he's box office. He had been built up that he was going to the New York Knicks. You know, New York to life, it's exciting, yes, but he's not going there. He's going to the New Orleans Pelicans. And I think the Pelicans, it'll be crazy to trade him off because and trying to keep Anthony Davis, you can't keep Anthony Davis. He don't want to be there. And you trade him somewhere, I think, is at the point, and one point was brought up today when I was watching one of the shows, and they said, well, don't trade him. He don't want to be there. Get him all out of there because you want to get – now you got something – to get from the situation. You really have something when you're talking about Boston may not have to give what they thought they were going to give because they were going to use all the draft choices. But 14, 17, and 21 is not a great opportunity. But now you have the two teams, the New York Knicks, who have the third pick. And then you have the Lakers with the fourth pick. And we want to talk about that for a second, Trey. Look at those assets those teams have. Tell me exactly which of those two teams, I'm going to put Boston, make it three teams, will have an opportunity to really trade for Anthony Davis. And will he be a good fit at those teams? We got to consider exactly that part of it as well. We'll start and look at the New York Knicks. If they draft that pick, R.J. Barrett, if they trade that pick, who else they got? They got Kevin Knox. And who else they got? They got a contract of one of the players they got to dump. Lately, they got to get rid of him. So is that incomparable? Then I want you to think and talk a little bit about the Lakers, what they have. They got the fourth pick. Robert's going to be the young man out of Vanderbilt. And he'll get a chance to be that guard that need to have. But it's a pick plus getting, removing two of those other players. Because those players just don't fit. Let's accept that the Lakers with LeBron. They don't. Ain't nothing you can try to make happen. They're going to have to be removed. They're not going to keep that draft choice. They're going to try to deal and try to get that player in here. They want Anthony Davis. Tell me what you think about that, Trey.
Dr. Smith, as you said, shoot, the Lakers ran some options with that. I don't think they would use the pick. I think they're trying to get someone to fill in a position. A guy with that has experience and has a name for himself already, not trying to make a name. The Atlanta Hawks, also another one of them teams that got a couple picks in that first round. I think the Atlanta Hawks has two picks, too. So it's a lot of teams that got stuffed away, Dr. Smith, with this draft. Now, like you said, the Lakers don't benefit being in the top four, but that pick weighs a lot. It weighs a lot. So, shoot, as far as the Pelicans, the Pelicans will pick Zion as their top pick, but I think they'll get rid of to the biggest weight, and he will be in that deal with Anthony Davis. I think he will go with that deal. I don't think they're going to keep, you know, either one of the two. And Davis doesn't want to be there. Zion Williams doesn't want to be there. But I think I'm already saying that. They might keep Zion just to see how he develops and what kind of player he is in New Orleans. But as far as that goes, Anthony Davis does not want to be there. They're going to have some options with that. The Lakers may get him a four pick for AD. So, like you said, Dr. Smith, let's see how that goes as far as all that. The next team is, like I said, the Atlanta Hawks. The Atlanta Hawks has two picks. Who else you said had two picks, Dr. Smith?
Well, Boston had three picks, which is 14, 17, 21. And when you talk about that deep, this is not a deep draft. So you're not really getting anything with the 14, 17, and 21 pick. That hurts them.
Right.
They're not going to be able to give up two or three players. They're not going to be. Whereas, let's be real, New York is willing to give up two or three players, but the two players they're talking about is not going to help. They're not going to help that team. The Lakers do have players. You got to have some season. Kevin Knox is not seasoned. He's been there 1 year. And then the other player, they just trying to dump because of the salary. And giving away RJ back. I understand, and this is my thought, Trey, and I want everybody else to be a part of it. You're on Facebook, you can share your thoughts by, you know, you can message down at the side, but you can call in. The call in number is 347-857-4192, and I want to make sure I mention that. When you call in, press 1, and I identify the last four digits of your cell or telephone number, then ask you to identify yourself. And give us your name and your location and give us your comments and your question that you may have. Let's kind of look at this situation since we're going to talk about this draft and Zion Williams. I don't see where he can sit up and tell anybody he don't want to go there. First of all, you haven't played it. I don't care what – that's what I'm saying. They haven't built his head up so that he thinks he's the best thing since light bread or white bread. He's not. He hasn't proven anything for the NBA now. That was college. So the thing about it, he go to wherever the market's going to take him. They're not giving him up. No. Because they know they already lost Anthony Davis. He'll fit right in. Then on the other side of that, New York is going to be hard pressed to trade R.J. Barrett. Let me ask you, I'm going to ask you, Trey, about this, and I'm going to use an example. You're going to really kind of think about it when I share. It's on a high school level I use the example, but R.J. Barrett was in the shadows of Zion Williams. I don't care what nobody says. All they talk about is Zion Williams. R.J. Barrett was the best player coming out. Just keep it in mind, last year. He was the best all-around player to come out. He went there because they wanted to form this super team. But he was in the shadows of Zion Williams. Do you think he want to go to New Orleans and still be in the shadows? That's where the problem I have when they talk about trading him down there and team him up. You already been in the shadows. You took it for 1 year, all these people, all these players have these camps, and they camps telling that Terry Rozier was on for First Take and Get Up, and his captain told him and kept him up that he should be a star, one of the best point guards. Terry Rozier is not the best point guard. What is he talking about? But he's thinking that because the captain told him that he need not to be on the Celtics anymore. He need to be somewhere else. So what I want to get to when I said R.J. Barrett, he had to sit in the shadows this past year. And he really, really was rated as the best player coming out last year. So you think he wants to go to New Orleans? Prime example. I'm going to give you something, Trey. I've been trying to touch bases with you anyway. And one of the things that are happening locally, you have one of the players here on a team that's loaded enough to get together and win, probably be in the state championship round this year. This person chose to leave the school to go to another school because he said the offense don't fit him. He's been in the offense 2 years. Gordon. He's been in the offense 2 years. He's leaving.
No.
Going. Yeah, he has left and went over the other day because somebody convinced
no.
him he played on the edge. He don't want to, and he told the coach, I don't want to play behind Barnett, and I don't want to play behind Green. Williams. Offense don't fit me. You see how it is? They don't want to sit in the background. So why would R.J. Barrett do it at Duke and go to the pros and do the same thing? I don't see that. I think he's going to buck more than Zion. See, he's been quiet, but he's going to buck more. Tell your thoughts on that, Trey. And Trey, before you get started, call in on the 347-857-4192. And we do have our radio personality, our E-Train, none other than Daryl E-Train Elliott online. How you doing, Daryl?
I tell you what, man, they have me cutting commercials, and they have me on radio production all night. I said, I got to get there some kind of way, so here I am.
Thank you, Daryl. We appreciate it. We're here talking about the lottery from last night and what some of the discussion, the scuttlebutt is going on from the talking heads and funding, talking about who's going to go somewhere because of whatever the position they're in, who will be drafted. And we were just talking a little bit about R.J. Barrett being behind Zion Williamson on Duke all last year. In the shadows, do we want to be drafted to a team, which would be New York, and get a chance to show himself or go to New Orleans in a trade? I just don't believe it,
hoping.
Dude. Go ahead on.
I just wanted to – Trey was about to chime in on that, but hear what Trey had to say
yeah.
about it.
Yes,
yeah,
sir.
Trey.
I'm going to say this, Dr. Swin. These kids are different these days, Dr. Swin. They're not like – we used to be back in the day. The competitive spirit is not the same. I wouldn't be surprised if they did say that. I wouldn't be surprised. And it all goes to that LeBron mentality to me. And I say it all, and you know, people, you know, try to say, well, it didn't start with him. It started with Boston. It started with LeBron to me. Boston Joker was old. Ray Allen was old. Kevin Garnett was old. They was at the end of their careers. Now, they were very productive. They were at the end of their careers. LeBron was in the middle of his career. So, therefore, with him doing that, and people don't understand this about LeBron. LeBron's team was one of the top teams in the NBA. I think they were the number one or number two team as far as regular season. Now, the playoffs, they got their butts handed to them, but they were the top two, and that's why LeBron caught so much backlash for leaving Cleveland, then coming back to Cleveland. So, in a sense, I think it did start with LeBron with the creating of the super team. And you know, a lot of old people say, you know, back in the day it started with the Bucks when Oscar. Did he leave the Knicks, Dr. Smith, or he was already he went to the Knicks after the Bucks. He left the Bucks to go to the Knicks, right?
Who was that?
Oscar. Happy Oscar Hayes. When he won that championship at Milwaukee.
Is it Oscar
Robinson?
Robinson. It's Oscar Robinson.
Daddy. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, but I'm going to let Daryl jump in right now. Tell you, let Daryl jump in. He may want to share some thoughts. Then I'm going to jump in and share some thoughts about what I think this started with these players doing this. And I'm going to go back to not that sport, but another sport. Daryl, you got any thoughts on that?
Bottom line is, to me, it's all insanity. Listen, the players got too much control. I say that now. Somebody needs to run the game again. It didn't used to be this way, and now it's like all over the place. There is so much you could talk about. There are so many things you could discuss. The money has gone outrageous. The sponsorship has gone outrageous. Everything's outrageous, and the level of competition has gone outrageous. So again, I just don't know what to say, y'all. I get fooled every time I hear you talk about it because it's like you can come from so many different angles with each and every subject. Back to you, Doc.
And that's what the problem is. Let me kind of go back to something I was trying to share with you all in regards to when I think this problem started with players and their parents and their family getting involved with it. I'm going to go back to a player that was was drafted out of Ole Miss. Y'all don't know where I'm going in a minute. He was drafted by the San Diego Chargers. His name is Eli Manning. Eli's dad told them because San Diego Chargers was not winning, he's not going to the Chargers. He was set out before he go. That's what I'm saying, that these camps, LeBron got his camp. Apparently, Terry Rozier got his camp. Zion Williamson got his camp. And the people who's pulling the string and not R.J. Barrett going to have his camp. We're trying to talk about these players talking about going to play behind somebody. They don't want to play. They don't want to do it in high school. So I know they don't want to do it when they get to the pros, because when you're drafted by a team in the top, whatever it is, the top 10, you're drafted to be the star on that team. Trading you to go, R.J. Barrett going to leave in New York to go down there to play in the shadows of Zion Williamson, that's not even going to be a super team. I'll tell you why it's not going to be a super team, because they're going to be immature. Boys just going to have it too well against men. They're going to have to work their way and play. They can go in there and be with some other men and make it work, but it's not going to work. And then you look at the situation when you have the kind of players down in New Orleans. You know, Zion will be good, but you also got a couple other players down there can fit in and make that work, but they're going to trade for some players. If they was to get a trade like this, they would get that fourth pick that would give them a point guard, because they need a point guard in New Orleans, Garland out of Vanderbilt. Then they'll bring, if they can bring Brandon Ingram over there, that's that splashing point forward, and either Kuzma coming over there, bring him over there, they will have a decent team. But I also think in the trade, the young man that came from the Lakers to New Orleans with the left hand going to end up back at the Lakers. This is what I see. I'm only just looking
Dr.
at it because, yes.
Didn't you, was it you or was it Trey that said, anybody that's going to make it to the championship going to have men on the team? And going to be seasoned players. Didn't one of y'all say that some time ago?
Yes. Got an experience important. Very important. Yes, sir. The way to keep that in mind, that Darren brought a good point up. You're just not going to make it with immature players. I don't care how great they may be. When you're 19 playing against a 30-year-old man, it's a little different. It's a lot different. I don't care what kind of skills you have. So bringing that team together, and I just think that they're building for the future in New Orleans. The Lakers are building to win now. Be honest, Boston, and I want us to take a minute and talk a little bit. We kind of bounce, and we're going to talk a little bit about that. The possibility that Boston is dysfunctional. And I want us to think about what might have been the reason why. We're moving from the draft in the lottery to talking about Boston and some of the dysfunctional things that are going on, because that was ridiculous the way they played in that second round. That's terrible. With all that talent they had, they're 9 or 10 deep. But Rozier said it. We would do what we want to do. They had attitude. Now, my question is, will Boston be able to keep who they have? And if they do, are they going to be better with Kyrie or without Kyrie? Tell me what y'all think about Kyrie and the Boston Celtics.
They gone. He gone, Dr. Smith. I seen it, the body language in the walk off. When you walk off the court, when you lose, I seen it. And it was a walk off like, I'm gone. You know, I'm gone walk off. Like LeBron did when he lost in the finals, though, with the walk off. Your body language tells you everything. I wouldn't be surprised if Kyrie ended up with the Lakers, man. He got to have somebody with him. He got to have a superstar with him to win. He went off by himself. He couldn't do it by himself. I'm going to say this. Gordon Hayward is not who we thought he was. He was a better player when he had role players around him in Utah. He got with Boston with semi-superstars, and they couldn't get it done. So, Kyrie is gone. Maybe Gordon Hayward will play better without Kyrie there, because he does dominate the ball. So we'll see. But Kyrie gone, Dr. Smith.
Yeah, Dr. Smith. It's the IO syndrome. It's just the IO syndrome. It's over. And I add an addendum to that. The thing about it is that who's ever trying to forecast and put these players together, to me, are looking at things the wrong way. And it's evident, because everybody on the line and on the show has a strong opinion of the choices that these people made. We're outside looking in, and they're looking at things through monetarily and longevity and how could it work. But I don't think people look at the clash of personalities and how things work between these men.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think they choose them based on the wrong things. Back to you, Dr.
Yeah. And there brought up something so important. That's what happened to the Lakers, and that's what happened to the Celtics. And like I said, Rozier brought it out very clear that those younger guys got upset because Brad Stevens, when Gordon Hayward thought he was healthy, which he was not healthy, he needed another year to get himself together. When he brought him in there and started him ahead of those guys, Tatum, Rozier, and yeah, Rozier said because of Kyrie, but he understood that. But I think both of them created a problem, and their psyche was screwed up. It was that in their mind, it was not functioning like they're supposed to. So the bottom line is they didn't play. Same thing happened at the Lakers. The minute they said it was going to trade these boys, they got upset, and they stopped playing. They literally stopped playing. Everybody can say they won. LeBron got hurt. If they were the kind of players that they were able to win 38 games without LeBron, LeBron had them in position to be in fourth place. When he went down, they should have carried that on. I think their attitude, their psyche got all screwed up because they are thinking, I'm a professional, and they need me. Yeah, they need you. They need you to go do your job, grind it out, and be the best. But instead of having that, what happened was they took attitude. They didn't play. They got to the point they challenging. They keep showing this commercial, this thing where Kuzma going back and forth with LeBron. Yeah, sit down somewhere. This man won a championship. This man got 10 years on you. Learn something. Quit just because you're there, you can't listen. And that's one of the things that caused them to fall apart, too, as well as the Boston Celtics. So that thing we're talking about with Kyrie, yeah, Kyrie is fighting his way out. I don't think he'll end up at the Lakers. I think he'll end up at New York. I think that'll probably happen. So we look forward to seeing him in New York. So we'll kind of see how that turned out, because he's going to pick the team he's going to. Everybody thinks it's going to be him and KD. I don't think it will. I really don't think it'll be him and KD. I really think he still wants to be in charge of his own team. He said he couldn't do it with LeBron. I don't think he want to go back, because if the Lakers weren't so dysfunctional, then you can see it. But they dysfunctional, man. They can't get together. We're gonna talk about this coaching this high. So we're gonna just share some thoughts about it. I want the team to kind of share their thoughts about it. They offered the job, or in essence, Tyronn Lue came in that interview. They're gonna undercut him or underbid him, or they're gonna give him less than the other coaches that get in the 5 years that it hadn't even been head coaches before. You don't do that. You got all the coaches that interviewed. Monty Williams got 5 years. This coach, Beeline, just come from Michigan, got 5 years. Why don't you give a man who won a championship, who's got the experience, and the coach that this player wants 3 years? So Frank Vogel take it. He takes it for 3 years with the understanding he got to hire Jason Kidd. So Jason Kidd is associate head coach in waiting. So you got a problem from the start right there. You got a problem. But I can't be mad at Frank, because Coach Frank decided to take that job. He knew what it was going to be. If Jason Kidd was on his staff or going to be on his staff, Jason Kidd is going to be the next coach. But they could not hire him now. That's who Kurt Rambis wanted. That's who Phil Jackson wanted. Those people got their hand in this, and they wanted Jason Kidd. But Jason Kidd had some things going on that they couldn't put him in that position. But they could put him as an associate head coach, stepping in line to be coach in a couple of years. So that situation. Tell me your thoughts about that in regards to the hiring of the coach at the Lakers.
They're trying to grow. I'll make it real quick, Trey. They're trying to grow Jason. They're trying to grow Jason Kidd, and you got to look at it some type of positive way in it. If Jason Kidd could be the head coach right now, they would make him there. They would put him there. But the only way Jason Kidd could be the head coach is that some other things have got to be in front of him. So I think it's a pretty decent move to put the guy that's there now to raise Jason Kidd to that level. Go ahead, Trey.
Mm-hmm. I agree totally with you, Dale. I'm gonna say this, Dr. Smith. I know they tried to railroad Tyronn Lue, but I don't think he was a good fit for the guys that we have. We have, like you said, young kids, young boys out there. We got to have somebody to develop these young boys. Frank Vogel, he is a coach that can develop young boys. Tyronn Lue is used to a veteran group. That Cleveland Cavaliers group he had was old. That was one of the oldest teams in the NBA. But now I'm with him totally. You're trying to tell me, you're trying to micromanage me and let me know who I'm going to hire as my coaches. I'm with him. I would have went the other way too. But Frank Vogel, coach that wasn't coaching it last year, so he didn't mind. And the guys that he's putting in place for you are credible guys. Jason Kidd can help you. He can develop your guards. Frank Vogel is going to help that team grow up. So that defensive mindset will be different this year. But that's the only thing I see with Tyronn Lue, the railroading with the I'm telling you who's going to be on your staff. So that rubbed Tyronn Lue the wrong way. So he got up out of there. But in the midst of that, I'm proud of my pick. Frank Vogel, let's roll, baby. Let's get us there next year. We need to get to the playoffs.
Well, unless they get a player in there with LeBron. See, the thing about we keep forgetting, them young players ain't ready to do what they ask them to do. They need to have some players in there. That's what they call themselves doing a little veteran run this last time. Magic was trying to do that. They may not have been the right veteran fit, but they got to have something. They got to win now. The Lakers can't wait 3 or 4 years. This will be this 6 years already they ain't made it to the playoffs. They cannot wait till these boys grow up. That's why I said they're going to trade some of them guys. Get them out there and get some mature, more players that can help LeBron win now. LeBron got to beat LeBron. Yeah, he came to make movies, but LeBron like winning too now. let's not get that mistaken that he want to come in just sit around and go through these pains and ache he went through when he was in his first 2 or 3 years. Let's keep that in mind. So the thing about it, I think the only reason this coach, Frank Vogel, was tired was because he was willing to allow them to pick his staff, and he'd come there for less of money. It's okay. He didn't have a job. So if you don't have a job, you're thankful to have this job. You're not going to cause any problems. My situation is I'm all right with that. I'm all right with that. LeBron's going to coach himself. I'm sorry. Y'all, we can say what we want. This man's not going to impress him enough to coach him. So the point, he's going to coach himself right there. If them young boys ain't ready to go with him, they got to leave there. You got to get the players in there that are ready to go and realize this man has been there. This man has been in the playoffs 9 or 8, 9, 10 times in a row, and he has won 3 championships. He know it. You ain't ready. You learn from him. They was not ready to do that because they were mad because people were chanting that LeBron was getting. Yeah, LeBron trying to get somebody to win now. Trey, the Lakers trying to win now. They ain't waiting 3 years. And I just don't believe. I believe they'll do better if they can get that player in there. They got 2 max spots. If they can get one of those players in there to kind of help LeBron and one other player to go along, we don't know who it's going to be. But maybe this trade
Dr.
can
Smith.
Work it out. Anthony Davis will be there. Go ahead on there.
So are you saying that this move is another failure, another nail in the coffin for the Lakers?
I personally believe this gentleman is not going to be. Now, Jason, if it wasn't for just preparing Jason Kidd to have the job, then I can say that it could be a nail in the coffin. I think Jason's going to do a good job because he auditioned to be the head coach. But the key is going to be the draft. It's going to be these trades. It's going to be free agents. You've got to get some players in there that LeBron will be comfortable with. He's not comfortable with those young men. I'm sorry. I'm telling you. And if they had to go with the same team, they're not going to make the playoffs next year. I'm just going to say, you guys are just not
comfortable. Well, Dr. Smith, I'm going to say this. I'm going to say this, and I'm going to be through with it. I don't think the Lakers were a 10th, 11th seed team this year. I think injuries played a part in the Lakers being that far. And this is part of the process. Now, I didn't understand why we went to changing stuff that was part of the process. If everyone was hurt and we're losing, let's just lose. That's not – we weren't finna win a championship anyway, Dr. Smith. But I really think if we wouldn't have messed with the mindset of those kids, of those little boys, we would at least made the playoffs. Now, I'm not saying what we would have did in the playoffs. I think we did what everybody else did that went. The Russell Westbrooks, I think we would have lost just like them Jokers. But the process was this team was hand-built by Magic Johnson. This team was doing everything that you wanted to do. They have scrappy guys. It wasn't until the injuries. When the injuries happened, Dr. Smith, that's when everything went downhill. And that's when Magic Johnson went to trying to trade, and it was over with. We're not trying to win the championship. We gave these guys 1 year contracts. Let's finish out this year. And then we can get these guys. You understand what I'm saying about that, Dr. Smith?
I understand exactly what you're saying, but I guess the only problem that I see here is that the Lakers did bring people in that was 1 year contract.
Yes, sir.
They could help these guys move forward, but we keep saying the injury. There's only one injury that created the problem for them. It was when LeBron went down, they was not able to pick it up. Because they went 5-11, 5-60, 5-whatever, and they was not able to function.
But
and
Dr. Smith.
Then the trade came into existence. And the trade came in, then they went just crazy because everybody, how are they going to get traded? And they just ain't do nothing from that point on. So I'm just saying they had a chance to make it to the playoffs. The point is not even winning the championship. It's making to the playoffs. They hadn't made it to the playoffs in 6 years. You got to understand, that's what the Lakers people, the people fans want, to make it to the playoffs. And they didn't even make it. Even when LeBron went down, they looked like they was not functioning. I got to give the credit to the coach. I think it's the coach as well, because he's thinking he's going to be fired. So it's just, we got to accept the reality is that they got to get this chemistry that's going to work. And I personally don't believe Brandon Ingram fits with LeBron. He just don't fit. He's just the bottom line, because he got to have the ball. He can't have the ball with LeBron on the floor. He just can't do it. And I think their rotation is not good as well. It's something got it. The coach who come in need to have a good rotation when these certain players go off from the first five and happen. But you got to keep some people out there to play. I'm just saying there's so much got to happen for them to happen, for it to happen to be successful. So we can look at it as, you know, it's a wasted year for LeBron. He ain't got the two more now. And I don't care, any player, you want to win. You want to win. And you ain't come out there, yeah, you can make moves. You still want to win. But you don't want to be the failure. Everybody else can win a championship. One of the greatest players get out there for the Lakers in that purple and gold and don't win. So that's what it's going to be all about. It's all about winning because the fans want to win. They want to win. So we see it that we can look at and debate it the whole another hour in regards to that. But we want to look at a couple of things. All right, it's a trade that was talked about. Tell me whether it's good or bad, and I want you to share your thoughts on it. Trading LeBron for Ben Simmons. What do y'all think about it? Do you think the young boys would really be happy if they had Ben Simmons?
Trash. That's the worst trade I can ever. Ben Simmons can't. He can't shoot. He can't do nothing. I'm not. Like, 5 years from now, I might change my tone, but no. I don't respect people that defend you at the goal. Like, I watched LeBron play this man. He was playing defense at the rim, inside the little circle, in front of the free throw line, daring him to shoot. I can't. No. That's a terrible trade for the Lakers if they do that.
Okay. Well, it was a thought, whether it's good or bad. So it's a bad trade from your point of view, and I think it's a bad trade because Ben Simmons has to grow up too. He has to come eventually get better. He got to develop him a jump shot. But he's a slasher now. He can slash all over the place. And some players got to recognize what they're good at. Everybody thinks that because the lead is five out, everybody got to shoot jump shot. I personally believe that you take and recognize what this player have and what's his strength. And like I said, Brandon Ingram cannot get himself going unless he has the ball in his hand. And if with LeBron, it's not going to work because LeBron has to gonna have to have the ball in his hand. That's just the way it is because we know what he can do with it. So the thing about it, Brandon Ingram's not going to be able to stay there with LeBron. I'm telling you, he's going to have to find. So he's going to be part of that trade. Kuzma may be because
he ball beat too much, Dr. Smith. I agree totally right there. He's a James Harden with the ball now.
Exactly. So that's something got to happen. But the point about it was, what would it look like if Ben Simmons was at the Lakers with these guys? It probably would work. And LeBron was at
Dr. Smith.
Yeah.
Are you serious? Do you really believe that? Because, I mean, to me, it would be like the Bad Little Bear all over again. I mean, who's going to be the leader on the team out on the floor? The one that can't shoot? I mean, what? I mean, you got a young team. You want to be in the playoffs. I think Trey is right. You got a 1-year contract with these cats. You get them out of the way, and you hope to get some seasoned players out there that work with LeBron. But, I mean, you put Ben out there, really? I mean, that's – I can't see that. Yeah. But maybe your cookie dough is better than mine, Dr. Smith. Go ahead.
Yeah. Well, I guess let's paint this picture for you. He's not functioning well with MB. So they were saying that he has more of a what we call a baseline player where he can play from the baseline and he can come hard. He'll score. He can score 30 points if he can penetrate. He won't shoot the three-pointer. You got to get somebody that put in that place to do that. But the bottom line is, they said he would fit better with guys like that that's running and ripping than with MB. Because MB going going to take up all the middle of the floor and step out of that sometimes, whereas LeBron will be outside and can get the ball in there. So the thing about LeBron, not going to go inside too often unless he's driving to dunk the ball, and he can shoot the three. So think about what advantage that would be for Philadelphia if they had LeBron. And think about the advantage with the Lakers, because all of them young guys can find out what exactly what they do. And a lot of them just do things different. And I said LeBron, they just don't work with LeBron. And that's the problem. I just wanted to throw that out and let us talk about exactly what's going on with that. Possibly could have been that trade with Ben Simmons being traded over there with the Lakers. Fit in when they're all young, they're excited. They're going to be talking about 4 or 5 years from now. LeBron trying to win now. He can win now with MB. I just want you to think about it. That's what we were talking about. Look at the possibility of what was good or bad. Trade sale was bad. I said, you know, I'm in between. I don't know whether it worked or not, but is that a point that something had to happen? But we, with the situation, the Lakers have who they have. They got to make some major moves. They're dysfunctional at the top. I don't even think LeBron really respects anybody up there, but he's not going to say anything. I applaud him for that. Because he's saying, you know, I'm not going to say anything. I'm not going to be the coach killer. I'm going to let them pick the coach they're going to pick. Because I'm going to do what I do. That's all he said. Because he do want to win. And he wants to be successful at what he's doing. We know that by LeBron. So that's one of the things we wanted to talk about. And I just wanted to share that thought with you. And we're getting close to the end of the hour. And I really appreciate it. Let's talk about the game last night. Share your thoughts on that game between the Warriors and the Trailblazers. Tell me what to think, Trey. Tell me what to think now. And then we'll talk about the one that's on TV now. Then we'll get ready to wrap this show up.
I'll be quick, right quick there. If Golden State is hitting shots like they did that first quarter, Dr. Smith, no one's going to beat them. They're just throwing the ball at the rim, and it's going in. So I feel like if they shoot like that great without – They're superstars, you know, in the threshold, in on the sideline in suits. They ain't nobody gonna beat them, and it's gonna get worse when them guys come back. They're predicting, you know, comebacks for a big cuz that went out with a quad injury. They're predicting comeback with Kevin Durant with a calf injury. So. And these guys were predicted to be, like, seriously hurt. I mean, KD is probably going to take another game off with them playing like that. So we'll see how this goes, Dr. Smith. And we'll roll with that. And my Bucks got to get together. Bucks got to get together. Okay. I'm done. That's my two right there.
I'm with Trey all the way on that. They can close their eyes and throw the ball at the rim and win. So how can you stop that? You can't. So if they keep playing at the level they're playing, it's a done daughter. Before I go back in the production room and go to work, I just want to tell you one thing, guys. I appreciate you all, and I got a deadline I got to meet before 10 after 9, but I want y'all to know one thing. This is one of the greatest talking sports shows ever, and I appreciate you both. Y'all have a good one.
Thank you, Darryl, so much, and we appreciate it. Appreciate you as well. And Trey, I just want to add one thing about dealing with that Western Conference championship game series. Those guards can be given some pressure, but there's no pressure given by the Trailblazers. They come off screen, and you cannot leave Stephen Curry and Klay Thompson with 3 feet or anybody put their hand up in their face. They're going to smoke you. So until they make that adjustment, that's going to stay the same, and they can go through this series, but it's going to be an adjustment tomorrow night. Check it out tomorrow night. Everybody that's watching, we'll see. Now, the game's going on tonight. We got a game 72-64, and the Raptors is ahead, and we'll see how that's going to turn out. We'll talk about that a little bit on Friday and then also next week. Trey, any words you want to share with our listeners? We're on Facebook and also on Blog Talk Radio.
No, sir. Y'all, great night tonight. Enjoy being here with Dr. Smith, Dale, E-Train, Elliot. Ready for next week, Dr. Smith. Y'all hold it down, Dr. Smith. Y'all have a good night.
You do the same, Trey. We thank you. And all the individuals on Facebook, I appreciate you joining us. We have quite a few on here. And And I just really appreciate each and every one of y'all taking time because, you know, we can't do it without you all. Our listeners is all over the world. We have 12 countries that we have listeners checking us out for the 137 shows that we have. And those episodes that we had throughout the last 2 years, we appreciate each and every one. I would call out everybody's names, but I'm not because our time is kind of tight. And I thank my co-host, each and every one, and also those individuals on the board. I see your number on the board. I appreciate you joining us as well. We have had an outstanding time tonight, starting at 7 o'clock in our previous show. We had an awesome time. We did Facebook, we did Instagram, Periscope, as well as we had an opportunity to anchor podcasts. And now we're doing three of them, Blog Talk Radio, Facebook, and also we just completed our podcast because we're only giving an hour. It's been awesome. So I do appreciate each and every one of you all joining me as well as the team. We love it, and we can't do anything about it. We just keep on doing it. And as I tell everybody, hashtag keep on grinding. And that's what we're going to do on this side. We're going to keep on grinding. And also tell everybody I'm known, and my hashtag is communicate for understanding. You know, if you need to say something, share something with people, do it, talk with them. Communication is so important. And last but not least, as we get an opportunity to close this hour out, I want to tell everybody because I'm so appreciative of you being a part of this. I love you, and ain't a thing you can do about it. Have an awesome night.
I got a condo in Manhattan. Baby girl, what's happening? You and your ass invited. So go on and get to clapping. Go pop a phone, pan, pop it for me. Turn around and drop it for a plan. Drop it for me. I'll rent a beach house in Miami. Wake up with no jammies. Lost the tail for dinner. Coolio served that scampi. You got it if you want it. Got it if you want it. Said you got it if you want it. Take my wallet if you want it now. Jump in the Cadillac.
Girl, let's put some miles on it.
Anything you want.
Just to put a smile on it.
You deserve it, baby. You deserve it all. Lucky for you, that's what I like. That's what I like. Sex by the fire at night. Silk sheets and diamonds all white. Lucky for you, that's what I like. That's what I like. Lucky for you, that's what I like. That's what I like. I'm talking trips to Puerto Rico. Say the word and we go. You can be my flica. Girl, I'll be a flico, mama. A promise that I can't keep. I promise that your smile ain't gonna never leave. Shopping sprees in Paris. Everything 24 carats. Take a look in that mirror. Now tell me who's the fairest. Is it you?
Is it
me?
Is it me?
Say it's us. And I'll agree. That's what I like. Lucky for you, that's what I like. That's what I like.